What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Genesis 28. We're looking at the life of Jacob. We're looking at Jacob's life. One of the things that adds to our faith and makes our faith more effective, are you with me? Is when we have understanding. When you have understanding, your faith is boosted. For example, you don't need to have understanding of how a car works to drive it. You only need to have an understanding of how to engage the gear, especially these days of joystick. You can just put the car on drive, and then if you know how to coordinate the relevant part, and you are coordinated yourself, you should be able to make it. You should be able to make it where you're going. True or false? But if someone is driving a car and the car has a fault, and the person has a knowledge of how the car works, amen, the person will have more faith in that car taking him or her from one point to the other than you do, especially if you have a knowledge that, oh, this car might pack up at any point in time. Do you get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that the depth of understanding also helps the depth of trust. You understand? That is why you tend to trust people you understand. You tend to trust people you know. So the purpose of Scripture, are you getting me, is so that our faith will be strengthened. So that whatever God tells us to do, one of the purposes of Scripture is that we will have an understanding so that we can trust God more, so that we're not just doing what we're doing. Listen, there are things in Scripture you might not have understanding, and you just know that, okay, I've been instructed on this note, I've been instructed to do this, and listen, you get results because it's the Word of God. But when you have an understanding of that thing, you'll be doing it with greater insight, greater light, and the results will be amplified. And that's one of the things I've noticed with the subject of tithes. A lot of people tithe, but not too many people have an understanding of why they tithe. It's even amazing that in the New Testament, some people are still tithing out of fear. And the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So whatever we do must be born out of faith. And faith comes from God's word. And God's word gives us light. It gives us understanding. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives what? Understanding unto the simple. The word simple there does not mean you are easygoing. It means you are foolish. Are you with me? So, God doesn't just want us faring along the way without knowing what we are doing. You see, the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, I still say it, that every Christian should make that prayer every day. I've made that prayer for years from Ephesians 1, ever since I heard of your faith and the love for the brethren. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amen. That you may know what is the hope of his call, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is not cramming. I have prayed it over and over and over. Even today I prayed it. That I don't just want to walk with a God I don't know. You cannot live a life you don't know. That's why teaching holiness without teaching people the life of God is a waste of time. It's when you know. You know, a lot of times they say, behave like this, behave like that. So why? How? What is it about? Amen. You know, an animal can never behave like a human being because it doesn't have your life. Now, the miracle of the new birth is that an animal has become a human being, but his mind has not been renewed to it. So sometimes he might still behave like a puppy. So when we're talking to you, we're not talking to you like people don't have eternal life. If you are born again, you have eternal life. You see what I mean? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is present day reality, not going to. He is. I am. Do you get it? He is a what? A new creature. He didn't say he's going to be. He didn't say after behaving in a certain way, he will become. No, 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 no. Scripture is saying that if he's in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. And you know the thing about Scripture? The Scripture actually is the construction of the thoughts of God towards us. That means when you read Scripture, that is how God is thinking. Scriptures are the thoughts of God. That's why the Bible says no Scripture is given by any human word. Interpretation. But all Scripture is breathed by the Holy Ghost. And it's profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's profitable for correction, for doctrine, for edification. Glory to God. And for teach and for training in righteousness, that the man of God will be equipped. So when you read a scripture, it's not for us to argue. It's God is saying that, look, if a man is in Christ, how I see him is that now he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. He didn't say old things are passing away. He said, all things have passed away. They've passed. Behold, now, that is the work of the new man. That all his life he will be beholding. Behold, all things have become new. I read a post on Facebook today and I was just saying, God, the Christians, we struggle too much. We suffer to be Christians. It's not hard to be one. Praise God. We struggle too much to be Christian. You know, there are too many things we pull into this simple life. You know what I mean? This great life that God has given to us. What is the major work of a believer? All your life. It's so that you keep beholding God's word, having understanding, so that you know what you have received. You are not beholding to become in the context of becoming. Amen. You are not beholding so that you can have. You are beholding because you have. Have you ever looked for something that was with you? If you've had that kind of experience, well, let me say, I don't know. Maybe you had your... Have you ever put a pen on your hair? And you look for it around the whole house. Until at a point in time, you took your hand to your head. Discovered that, this pen has always been here. That is how some Christians spend their whole lives not knowing what they have. And they will be looking for it in all manner of places too. Sometimes they will even be fasting for what they have. I believe in a fast. I believe in fasting. But I'm not fasting to have something. I'm fasting for my eyes to be open. I'm fasting. I want you to get, why am I fasting? If you read Isaiah 58, the greatest proceed of fast is light. It's so that at the end of the day, you can see something. It's the same thing with prosperity. I personally believe that one of the things that a lot of believers are going to be so disappointed when they get to heaven is to discover that there's a way God made them so rich that they never became. And the subject of prosperity is something that scares people, as though the word prosperity is uttered by Satan. Can I tell you something? Success is not a secular word. It's in Scripture. Words like opulence, wealth, they are scattered all over Scripture. Just to let you know that they have their origin in God. You curse men right over our head. Psalm 66, 12. We walked through the fire. Amen. But you did what? You brought us into a place of rich fulfillment. That word, rich fulfillment, there's the word revire. A place of saturation where it begins to flow. Have you ever seen a dry land? It continues raining until the land is saturated with water, then it begins to flow. So God doesn't just want you satisfied. He wants you overflowing. And this year, like God told us prophetically, is the harvest of 10 years coming to us in one season. God, listen, God has made you infinitely rich beyond your wildest imagination. All you need is understanding. I'm saying this to you prophetically, and I'm saying this to you on the authority of Scripture, that this year, you can have your account in digits that it has never been before. It's understanding. I wish above
all things. 3 John 2. I wish above all things. Above all things. It's good to have many, but I wish above all things. Not some things. All things. That you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Meaning, if you, even if you don't take any of the things that Jesus did for you, these two, they are basic. I know it's John who wrote the letter or the Gospel of John that wrote the Epistle of John. You know, the church I grew up in, they used to call the Gospel of John Big John. Then they call the Epistles Small John. There's nothing small about John. Everything he wrote is powerful. But you see, when he was writing the epistle, he was an old man. Of all Jesus' 12 disciples, John was the last to die. He was the last of all the 12 disciples. Someone say why? I personally believe it's because he had a revelation of God's love, like none of the other disciples. Church history tells us that they tried to kill John. They tried. You know when they say, have you ever tried to kill something? You know, it's some work. They tried to kill John. John just wouldn't die. They were persecuting him. They took him to the island of Patmos, somewhere in Turkey. They said, will you recant? I'm sure he was telling them, God loves me. And they just kept this pot of oil. It was boiling. They said, guess what? We're throwing you inside that oil. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. You don't know. Eternal life, which was with God, has now been made manifest in us. Those things he was writing in his letters, are you with me? He meant them. He said, eternal life is in me. I can't die. So they took him and threw him in the pot of oil. And history tells us that he wasn't boiling. The man was just chilling inside the oil. So they got tired of him, removed him from the oil, and beat him and threw him on the island. Instead of dying, he's on that island that he had a revelation called the Book of Revelation. He started seeing things. Of course, if you stay under that kind of anointing oil, you will see things. You get what I mean? You will see things. You must see things. Mm-hmm. He began to see things before the world was made. He began to see things in his time. He began to see things that will happen and things that we have not yet seen. John saw it in a moment of time. He entered into the mind of God. He was convinced of this life. So I just said all that to bring you to this point. He wrote a letter and said, I wish above all things. This is a man that has seen many things. And he said, if there's any prayer I'm making for you, above all things, before eschatology, before pneumatology, before you learn spiritology, before you learn demonology, just prosper and be in health. Even as your soul, just as your soul prospers. Tell your neighbor, God wants me super prosperous.
God wants me super prosperous.
We must understand. Are we following? There is an anointing to prosper. There's an anointing. Because sweat alone doesn't make rich. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, he makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. You must reprogram your mind. Are you following? To understand that it is the blessing of God that makes rich. And you must believe that that blessing has come upon you in Christ Jesus. Do you follow? You are not cursed. And listen, if you have to keep hearing God's word until this truth sinks in, then let it sink. Don't sell out. You don't need a cult to be rich. You don't need unholy alliances to be rich. You don't need to sell your birthright to be rich. Your wealth is your birthright. It is the blessing. You don't need to be someone and say, if you want the record label, we can put you on all the billboards. We can make you so successful if you can just remove Jesus. You know, you don't need to be politically correct.
Somebody is saying a bad thing that they eat for night. I say Jesus is not bad, so we have to eat him in the daytime. So you get what I was saying? There's an anointing to prosper. When God made man, the first thing he pronounced upon him before work is the blessing. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful. So you must place eternal value on the blessing. A man with properties without the anointing is not better than a man with the blessing, yet without properties. The properties will come. So you must be so conscious of the blessing that nobody can flash anything around you like this. There's some of you, if they flash something, say, eh? See a Range Rover, I say, wow. I call those things stew. That's Esau and Jacob, stew. Red things. There are many red things. Red things. But you discover in life that you would eventually, the most important things in life are not physical things. They are important, but they are not the most important things. And God walks from the realm of the spirit into the physical. He said to Abraham, I will make you. That means a process. I will make you. That means I will form something on the inside of you to show on the outside. So there is something upon you. You follow me? See, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight who is saved, there is an anointing of God upon you. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, he anoints my head with oil. He says, my cup runs over. He didn't say my tumbler. We read scriptures like English people. But it's not an English book. When the Bible, the psalmist was saying, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. The cup there. He's talking about a bag of money. You know, as a shepherd, you know, he wrote that psalm as a shepherd. Shepherds, you still see the nomads around us, the herdsmen. You see, when they are moving around with their cattle, they have a place where they put their money. When they sell nono, you know what nono is? They have where they keep their money as they go about their day transacting and doing business. Some, they hardly sell their sheep, but they hunt, they do other things, they sell. Now, when they sell, they have a place where they keep that money. It's a little sack like that is attached to their cloak, to their, that's what they call the cup. It looks like a cup. It has an opening, so you put it there, you keep your money. So every day you go out to go and take the sheep to go and graze. As you are coming back, you should be coming back with something inside that place. The psalmist said, for me, there's an anointing upon my head. Anytime I come back, I don't come back empty. So when he said, cup overflows, he's saying my money bag overflows. And what he was saying is that my money bag is not overflowing because I am raising the sheep. It's overflowing because there is an anointing upon me. See, for the next 30 days, let your around every morning saying, he anoints my head with oil. My money bag runs over. No, say it. You know, just say it until something comes upon you. Never begin your day worrying. No.
Yes, sir.
It's a temptation you have to resist. Yes, don't wake up and the first thing that comes to your mind is a long okada. You understand? You're just saying, Kai. Because Mr. Justin Johnson has traveled. You know, he's the one that usually gives me lift. That's not the first thing you should be thinking as a believer. She said, wow, what a great day. Know my confession in the last 3 months. Every time I wake up, first thing I tell myself, I quote that Psalm 5:12, down 13, amen. The Lord has blessed the righteous, and with favor, he encompasses him like a shield. That's what I said. I'm encompassed with favor as a shield. I am a God, irresistible. Number two, you have to understand that there are principles for prosperity. I said there's power for prosperity. There are principles. There's an anointing to prosper. And then there's a principle that prospers. I started teaching them in Boko that there are four C's every believer should know. Every believer should be able to create. Every believer should be able to conserve. Every believer should be able to cast. Amen. You must learn to save. It's a principle of God's word. Simple wisdom. Mm-hmm. Someone say, save? Yeah. Someone say, for the rainy days? No, you can't say for the rainy days, because when the rains come, even Noah's ark will need God's help to be floating. So you don't save for rainy days. The Bible says it's a foolish son that eats everything. Some of you are without, not because God has not been faithful. It's because you have not understood simple principles. Some of you are like English people. You know, English people like shopping. They shop till they chase them out of the malls. Every time. It's like, you know, if you go to some of those malls in UK, it's like the moment, like the day breaks, people are waiting. People are always just shopping, I think. So one day I said, these people are always shopping. And somebody said, you two, you are here. You know, I said, okay, that's another person came. Pastor Miriam said, I was with Pastor Miriam, said, English people, they will buy both things they need and things they don't need. So I'm delivered. So you need to have priorities. The Bible said, put a knife to your throat. He didn't say slaughter yourself. He's saying cut your appetite. Cut your appetite. So I said, why do you save? That's a teaching for another day. But you save in faith. Saving is an act of faith. Because you must learn to put something away and then trust God to do what that thing needs to be done. That's number one. Then number two, you save so that you can have to give. If you save, you will never be in a place where you don't have seeds. The purpose of saving is to have seeds to give. If Joseph saved and eventually had seeds to give the people, to some people never have to sow because they don't save. And number three, you sow for opportunities. Because with God, you can get the best for less the price. You say, so you say, okay, you're in faith for a house. You don't have anything in saving. You say, we just saw this house, 4-bedroom flat. You know, in Abuja, they say, bring 1 million naira. You say, hey, who can give you 1 million? Every time you're in a rush, everything is urgent and important in your life. It's wrong. You must learn to create. You know, I'm going to run a series this year titled GoPro. Don't miss the series, amen. Follow it. So there are principles. Because God doesn't give furniture, He only gives trees. So you have many things you can do with trees. Toothpick, you can use it for firewood, you can use it for roadblock, charcoal. But you can choose to use it for paper. You can use print money. Even tissue. So there are many things God gives us, and it's our prerogative what to do. So there are principles, and we need to learn them. Because they work everywhere, regardless of your color. God-given principles work. Then, number three, there is a system for making you rich. That regardless of what you're doing, God has His system to empower you. Be a carpenter, be you a president, be you a service person. Are you getting me? There is a God-ordained what? System for you. Is somebody learning something? And if a man understands these three, that's why I say understanding is important. If you understand these three, faith will not be a struggle. Glory. So we see something in Jacob's life. Jacob had these three. I almost said go to the book of Jacob. There's no book of Jacob. Genesis 28, verse 20. Genesis 28, verse 20. Let me show you. Can I speak to you? You can be deliberate about your wealth and watch it grow. See what I'm teaching you? You can test it. I say, Pastor, I'm testing you. You know why? The only place God tells us to test Him, to prove Him, is in the place of money. In Malachi chapter 3. Maybe we'll get there today. The Bible said, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me what? Bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Next verse. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a what? A tenth to you. What is he? What was he establishing there? Why the tenth? Because, notice, I told you there are three things, right? There's God's power to prosper, which is what his father gave him. Then he also understood that there are principles. Amen. There are principles. You know, when he went to Laban's house, he was working hard. How many of you have the mistaken idea that Joseph wasn't working hard? He said, I worked hard under the scorching sun. You're all quiet. Let me even shock you. Can I shock you? I know some of you will take time to accept this revelation. Go to Genesis chapter 3. I don't know how I arrived here. Oh, I love the Bible. I wish I'm the one that wrote it. Verse 17. Then to Adam said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Continue. He says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the seed of the field. In the sweat of your what? Of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Let me ask you a question. What is the cause here? How many of you believe that hard work is the cause? How many of you believe that toil is the cause? No, put your hand up. Church, you're not doing anything wrong. But how many of you have believed that? Can I speak to you? Toiling is not a cause. Sweat is not a cause. Ah, I know that hurts you because of the rhema that Jesus was sweating. That Jesus was sweating in Gethsemane. He was sweating until he turned to blood. So Jesus has removed our sweat. Were you not sweating this afternoon on your way to church? If not for the AC in your office, wouldn't you have been sweating? Were you not sweating inside that keke? Were you cursed? If sweat was a curse, are you getting me? We will never have to sweat. If toiling was a curse, scripture will never have said, let him that does not work not eat. In Thessalonians, what is the curse? The ground is sweating on a cursed land. It is sweating on a cursed land. What Jesus did is that in his death, burial, and resurrection, the curse on the land has been removed. So if you sweat on a blessed land, it will produce for you after the order of creation. I know this is... See, the major cause is sending man out of Eden. You know why? You say, in the sweat of your face, this is a blessing. You shall eat bread. Bread has never been a curse. Bread has never been a curse. Are you learning anything? Bread has never been a curse. Read through the Bible. Bread is not, someone said bread of affliction. No, he's talking about suffering. God is not talking about bread of affliction here. So this year, you are not walking on a cursed ground. Jacob was a hard-working man. He was a hard-working man. Go to Genesis. Some of you are still not convinced that Jacob was a hard-working man. I need to show you this because by now you should all know that I'm not a pastor that tells lies. Genesis 31, verse 40. I don't tell you lies. I want to show you from scripture. Genesis 31, verse 40. I want you to be diligent people here. Don't be sloppy. That's what the Bible says in Romans 12. Are we there? Are we in verse 40? Let's read from verse 38. Let's read from verse 38. See, I can tell you, be diligent in your work. You will not stand before men this year. Because you are not walking on a cursed land. Your land is blessed. You might say the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. There is something about dignity in labor. Please, don't confuse work and works. Jesus has delivered us from works. Work is not a bad thing to be delivered from. I know the word of God is turning your mindset. Turn your mindset. See, when a pastor shares a testimony, I say, I was sitting in my house and the Lord opened the roof and dropped a Ghana Must Go. And when I opened it, there was 2 million naira in it. That's his fear. You can sit in your parlor for a very long time. Your roof will not open. No. Do you know where your own roof will be opening? On your job, on your field. That's why if you notice the testimonies that people share, oftentimes it's along their field. That's why it's called your field. They ask you, what field? Field, your occupation. That's why you must be diligent in what you do. And the Bible says there is much food in the untilled land of a lazy man. Meaning that the food is in the land, but because he's too lazy to till it, he will not find food. One of the things that have offended people in church is that they've taught tithe and not taught people how to get what brings the tithe. So you need to be taught. He says in verse 38, these 20 years, how many of you have worked on a job for 20 years? These 20 years, in those days, a year was not 4 months. 1 year was 12, I think it was 12 months. He said, these 20 years have been with you. Your ales, your female goats have not miscarried. What a testimony. They have not. He says, the rams of your, and I have not kied 20 years, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. It's not correct as a Christian when he says, I have eaten all your rams. He's not eating. I want you to see principles. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Meaning that there are ethics for every profession that you must stay with. You can't cheat in a system. You can't cheat your way up. You are sloppy. You are coming to work when you want to come. And when you tell you, say, oh, your sins are forgiven. That is not the code of conduct in that office. Your sins are forgiven so that grace to be an effective worker will rest upon you. See, you should make the difference in your place of work. You should represent Christ. Am I talking to somebody? How many of you like testimonies like, I didn't do the thing well, but God just made it work? Good. If that's the mercy of God. Don't misinterpret it. But you can't continue not doing things well and testifying. Why? It's just like somebody say, I didn't make it. The car I made, I didn't make it well, but I just want to testify that they all sold. That means you will also have to buy the car and be trusting God. I bought a car that was not well made, and I didn't drive well, but God saved me. Can we have a system like that? Excellence is not about shine. It's love for humanity. Imagine a doctor saying, I didn't even cut the patient well, but he survived. How many of you will still take your patient there? Say, guess what? Yesterday I got the, I performed a procedure on one patient and I forgot the this thing inside. But guess what? He's still alive. Glory to God. If not for the mercy of God, I've lost my license. How many of you in this church will still take your people there? So your desire should not to be sloppy and interpreting it as grace. No. And if you think that work is a curse, you'll be grossly... You'll be making a gross mistake. Why? If everybody doesn't work, you will be bored and you will suffer. Imagine you get up tomorrow, you have your car. You get up tomorrow and all the people who sell fuel said, let's just rest. They are not on strike. They just want to rest. Somebody say, why? They've entered into their rest. It's the grace of God. They just said, no, we're not going to work. I'm resting. Are you getting me? I'm in grace. Jesus has paid the price. The angels will bring the food. Then you go to a restaurant to eat. Then the people who work in the restaurant, they all say that, Kai, Jesus has paid the price. Today we will not, we just want to go on break. Are you getting me? You say, are you not selling today? We are resting. Or they tell you that it's works. Jesus has delivered us from works. If, see the revelation you say you have caught, if everybody catches it, have you imagined what the world will be like? Are you getting me? If everybody catches the revelation you have caught, the way you have caught it, then you call the police station. They are robbing behind your house. You call the police station. They say, today we are in arrest. They say, no, they are robbing right now. The policeman say, don't worry, God will handle it. There is grace. Angels will take care of it. No problem. Because I just discovered that whether I go to work or not, God loves me.
That's what the policeman is telling you. Whether I go to work or not, God loves me. Thank you. And the network too is resting. Do you understand me? So you understand how life works. Don't be shallow-minded. Verse 39. You have to be focused this year. He said, that which was torn by beast. Look at that which was torn by beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. That means if an animal comes and eats one, Jacob will take his own and replace. He said, you required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Imagine that kind of environment, the kind of environment he was working in. There I was in the day, in the drought. What consumed me? The day the drought consumed me. And the frost by night. And my sleep departed from my eyes. This man walked himself. This is the same man that hands were laid upon. Are you with me? And he said, the dew of heaven has come upon him. If that dew did not come upon him, he wouldn't have been able to survive 20 years under that system. That's where that strength was coming from. Thus, I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters. He didn't forget that thing. Amen. And 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Well, look at what he says next. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor. See the things he said God saw. God saw his affliction, but that's not all. He also saw the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. I know some of you are wondering, is there anything like this in the New Testament? Ephesians 4. Let me show you. Ephesians 4:28. Notice, he said he walked, but how did he say he got the result? Because the God of covenant was with him. You see the way he was thinking. So see in the New Testament, what's the instruction? Let him who stole steal no more. This is not a letter to unbelievers. It's a letter to the church. There were people stealing in church. Let him who stole steal no more. Or him who does bad things for money. This year, stop. Stop runs. Amen. Stop unproductive things. Trust God. That's why I'm teaching you this. So you can trust God. You know, something will tell you that if I stop this thing, I will not survive. No, you will. Stop. That's stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer. Steal no longer. I didn't say God has condemned you. You just say stop it. Stop it. Amen. Amen. You don't need Uncle Jones and Uncle this person. You don't even need Mama G. You don't need any of those things. You don't need such things. You don't need such people in your life. You don't need to be a hypocrite because of money. You don't. It's unbelief. You are saying your heavenly father cannot take care of you. Who is Daddy J? He's nobody. Amen. He's nobody. Do you understand me? It's not. Because some of these things are gradually accepted as norms in the body of Christ. It's not true. See, he's so nice. You know, the only thing that he needs Christ in his life now. Leave him. You are not the Holy Ghost. You are not the one that convicts people. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Let him. See how your mouth is stuck? Open it. Let him labor. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, labor.
Labor.
He said, working with his hands, what is good? So it tells you where to labor. Working with his hands. What is good? There is something that is good. Why? That he may have something to give him who has need. That means you are not the needy. You are the needed.
Yeah.
Jacob had three of them. That's what I want you to see. He had it. He had the blessing. He had the principles. Where did the wisdom of God flow to produce wealth? It was on his field. It was where he was laboring. So your greatest ideas and concepts are going to come in the place where God has put you. See, you are a solution provider.
Amen.
Am I talking to someone? You are a solution provider. You are not a liability. I was listening to a man recently and he made a statement that so blessed me. He said, do you know
No two fingerprints are the same. Every person's fingerprint is unique to him. Even identical twins who share the same DNA, are you getting me? Don't have the same fingerprint. And I checked it, and it was true. See, it's because the Jews believe that the creative abilities of God are in a man's hands. Meaning that every single person has something unique to him that the world can benefit from. And can I speak to you? Amen. Even if you're doing something that somebody is already doing, there is a signature of God given to you to do that thing that makes you unique. So you say, everybody is sewing. Mm-mm, there is a signature. The same way everybody has hands, but your prints are different. It's the same way that whatever God calls you into, there is your print given to you that when you put on it, makes you unique. So you don't need to run away. Get into the race. Don't say, I want to sell jewelry, but everybody is selling jewelry. We'll say, so I'm going to open my shop in Pape. If nobody will come, it will take you a longer time. You don't see anybody. Get there. There is a space for you. Am I talking to people of faith here? And when you go there, if you don't know how to do business, get somebody to teach you how to do business. Did you get me? And learn. See, I was talking to somebody a few days. Thank you. I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, anything, no matter how perfect a business plan is, once it hits the road, there will be mistakes. It's part of growth. It's called process. If you have ever raised a baby here that did not fall down, let me see. The answer is that you don't have one. So sometimes when babies fall, you know, mothers just, no. I said, don't worry, the baby will still fall. No matter how perfect you think, you can't overprotect a baby from falling down. God designed that baby to fall. You can't do anything about it. In fact, all your protection is from your hand, the baby will eventually fall. I said, that's the same way. That's life. Every project, everything we do has a babyhood stage. Things will go wrong. Things will happen. Just to let you know that it's not your ability. So I said, just because you started a business, that first year was troubled, was shaky. You just like say a baby is learning to walk and you're already complaining that can't you walk? And the baby is just 6 months. Come on, give the baby time. Give your business time. You will make mistakes. No matter how you've been mentored, when you hit the road running, you make mistakes. You make wrong investments, then right investments, then don't worry, keep moving. See, I don't ever want to. You will. You'll be humbled. Didn't God call Moses to bring the children of Israel out? Was it not the will of God? Didn't he fumble? Do you know when he came back to that business? The business of deliverance. It was 40 years later. In fact, he even resigned. He said, not doing again. Until God showed up and said, hey, Mo, I'm back. He said, for what? He said, to go and say, I thought that we were done with this thing. He said, no. He said, okay, let me tell you. They will not believe. Who should I tell them sent me? He said, there I am. God. He said, God, show me his sign. So that they will believe. God said, put your hand in your bosom. He brought it out. He was leprous. I thought after seeing that you would believe. He still didn't believe. He said, okay, God, 1 month. But God said, don't get me angry. Read the Bible. God was getting angry. He said, throw that stick down. Then after he threw the stick down, the stick became a snake. He said, pick it up. It became a rod in his hand. God said, can you go now? He said, I don't know how to talk. He was looking. He was doing his best to discourage God from sending him. He was doing his best. So I want to let you know that whatever God wants to do in your life, he's more dogged than you are willing. God is dogged. He's willing to make sure that thing works. And can I speak to you? It's working. Are you going to make mistakes? He's aware. I remember the first time I was invited somewhere to go and preach. That was about my first time going to preach. And guess what? I over-prepared and said nothing. I was too prepared. Now, when I came, I wanted to say everything that I've been preparing. I ended up saying nothing. And I could look at the people. What are you trying to say? I said, God, maybe I was not called. I was not called for this. He said, you are called for it. I said, I'm not sure. He said, you are called for it. Those same people are still inviting me to today. It's the grace of God that makes people patronize you, that makes people come your way. It's not you. So don't think too highly of yourself. Like, you know, how can me? You is you. You will fall down. But get up. You know, the first day Moses approached Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh brought his snake charmers and magicians, and they converted. They did the same thing that Moses did. Do you know Moses left? He didn't come back again for 2 years. Go read your Bible. For 2 years. So when you read those 10 plagues, don't think they were happening in 10 days. After the first one, he didn't come back for 2 years. He went and sat down. Because you can imagine, this war God showed you, a rod turning to snake, you come into Pharaoh's court, and guess what? What you thought is your landmark miracle. Bam! The thing turns to snake. Pharaoh says, this is what we're talking about. Come here, Nefertiti. Where are you? Come. Throw your own down. Have you watched Prince of Egypt? I was watching it with my kids recently, a few weeks ago. I know, we just love that part. You're playing with the big boys now. Are you getting me? Okay, you're playing with the big boys. He just swallowed it. He just took it quietly. He said, oh. But let my people go. But he went to that device. He didn't come again for 2 years. See, read the Bible in chapters, but with an open mind. Don't think each chapter represents one day. Exodus 11 did not happen 12th of February. Then Exodus 12 happened 12th of February. No. That's not. Don't read the Bible like that. There are processes in scripture. Then there is a system. It is this system, are you getting me, that Jacob was instituting, was operating when he talked about the tithe. And listen, in prosperity, there is a way, there is a system set up by God to prosper you. Different from the way this world is set up to prosper. Tithing is God's what? System of prosperity for the believer. Jacob understood this, that you can be blessed, you can be diligent. Are you getting me? But you need all three. Genesis 14:18, where tithe appears first. How many of you want to learn this before we go? Then Melchizedek, the king, this is the first time the word tithe appears in scripture. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Kai, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he gave him a tithe of all. He gave him a what? A tithe of all. Now, This is the Hebrew word for tithe. It is the word maaser. Amen. Now, the Hebrews read from right to left. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Please don't go and say that pastor is a Hebrew scholar. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm just learning small Hebrew now. For sake of time, I won't be able to go through it. But the Hebrew letters, when Hebrews write, their letters are pictures. So they understand their letters in pictures. And there's a picture that is painted here. It's painted in there. This thing. You can see a crown. You can see an ox. You can see a lamb. So when they say they gave him a tithe of all, when they use the word maaser, there's something they see. Now give me the second slide. This is what maaser means. Amen. Quickly. Second slide. Is maaser is the word maaser. So this, the first Hebrew letter you saw here is this. Are you getting me? And Masra, from where we get a what? A tenth. So what he's saying is that he gave him a tenth of all that he had. Are you with me? It's like he gave him a tenth of his labor, a tenth of what the sacrifice has brought to him. You follow now? Now, what makes the teaching of tithing very interesting is this. Is that if you go to, give me the third slide. If you take away this ma, sir, if you take away that first, you remember the first letter that was here? If you take the word ma, you have the word aser. Are you getting me? If you take away ma, sir, if you take away ma, you have aser. Which is, you can check all this. So if you have a simple Greek Bible, you can, Hebrew Bible, you can check it up. So I know I'm not lying. You have aser. Do you know the meaning of this word? Turn to the next slide. Aser. Are you getting me? Used as in a noun from this. It means rich, wealthy, the rich, rich person. You know why? The teaching of tithe is for the rich. It is God's system for making people rich. So when we say that you cannot be rich God's way without an understanding of the tithe, it's not, some pastors have said it out of anger, but it's the truth. Throw away the semantics, throw away the tone in which it's said, and hear the message that is said. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Don't throw the baby and the water away. The truth is that the doctrine, the system, the teaching of tithes is for the rich. Anybody who wants to be rich God's way must embrace the teaching of tithe and have an understanding and begin to exercise themselves in it.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.